Just kidding. I didn't. I'm just kidding.
No, we are going to have another session.
But we are, because remember I made it, I think I made it a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, the week before camp.
Yeah, Donut 5 is going down.
Yeah, we're going to have to start doing Dunkin' Donuts.
No.
No. Huh? You like Dunkin' Donut? Krispy Kreme?
Yes.
Oh, no. No, you guys are getting choosy. Really?
I like any donut. As long as it's not vegetable.
I'll see what I can do. If I'm not what? Oh, yeah, we're going to do Mr. T's. I was just kidding. What's better, Mr. T's or Krispy Kreme? Really? Okay. What are you guys doing? What are y'all doing? We're about to read the Bible. Grab a seat. Okay, chapter 12. Everybody, let's all stand. We're going to read a pretty good portion of the chapter, starting in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another the faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Now let's jump down to verse 27 of the same chapter. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your Spirit in our lives and how he is active and moving through us and gives us power that is beyond our own, knowledge and words that are beyond what we can speak simply by ourselves. And we pray that he would come upon us now, that we'd be filled with the Spirit so that we can understand your word in a way that's beyond our own human understanding. Please speak to us, we pray. Fill us with your Spirit and speak through me to your people, I pray. Let each word that I say be from you to the hearts of your people. We love you so much, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can have a... Feel free to have a seat, even though y'all already did. So, it's raining?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, it's raining. That's crazy. That's crazy. So I'm super excited today because we are beginning our spiritual gifts workshop.
Oh yeah.
I wish it had like background music. And the reason we're doing this is because the next few chapters of 1 Corinthians are pretty much all about spiritual gifts, especially chapter 12 and 14. They're all about spiritual gifts. And instead of looking at the gifts that are discussed in this chapter is like looking through a window or like moving through a museum, looking at something that's like kind of cool, but it's like, does it really apply to me? I can't really understand it. Like looking through a fish tank and it's like, wow, look at those fishes. Instead of looking at it like that, we're gonna dive straight in and we're gonna talk about these gifts like they're things that we can grow in, like they're things that we might have now in our lives or things that we might have at different points in our lives, and things that we can actually understand and comprehend, just like we are supposed to. So if I do my job correctly, you will leave these workshops. We'll probably have like 3, maybe 4, depending on how quickly we can get through it. You'll leave these workshops learning about gifts that you already have and how to grow deeper in them. How the more obscure gifts work, like miracles. Yes, miracles still happen today and can be performed through the Holy Spirit, through Christians, like how tongues works, a pretty obscure gift that is kind of, you know, a lot of people don't know how it works and how to initiate it, how it works. How you might notice these gifts, how you might be able to say, oh, that person is using the word of knowledge, or that person is being healed, or that person has the gift of healing or prophecy. And then also how you might receive these gifts in the future, how you'll know that that gift is being performed through you, or that that gift is something you have. But before we dive straight into the gifts, we have to look at the foundation that Paul lays. We have to look at basically the introduction to spiritual gifts so that we're all on the same page, and so that once we get that good foundation of what spiritual gifts are, we can then build upon that, looking at every single spiritual gift in depth and understanding it, applying it to our lives, to our, you know, to the junior high age and the current culture and everything, and really getting to understand these spiritual gifts. It's going to be super cool. But let's start with the foundation. He starts off telling the young Christians in Corinth why they need to know the truth about spiritual gifts. And the reason is, this is very simple, but it's important. The reason he wants them to know about spiritual gifts is so they are not ignorant, or ignorant, you know, as some people might say. So they're not ignorant. They just need to know. He even brings it back into their past, and he's like, I know you guys used to follow those dumb idols. And when he says dumb, he means like idols that don't speak. He's not like, those stupid idols. No, that's not what he means. But what he's saying is that they couldn't even speak. And he's like, because you were led astray by these dumb idols that couldn't even speak, you need to be aware of what spiritual gifts are, so that when someone says, hey, I can look at your palm and tell you the future through the power of God, you are not going to be like, oh, I'll give you all my money to tell me the truth. So that you're not going to be duped and like stooped and confused and led astray by people who are saying they have spiritual gifts but don't really have them. That's why we need to know. We can't be ignorant, just led astray like little sheep. But Paul then goes on to explain what a spiritual gift is. And this is super importante, muy importante, as we move forward to understand what spiritual gifts are. And he uses the word, I gotta try to say it, charisma. Can you guys say that? You gotta get the charisma, charisma. Or you can just say charisma. But hey, Del, can you go back to the... to the pro presenter teaching slide. Yeah, keep it on there because that's where we'll be. Yeah, so charisma. Say it again. Get it. Dig deep. Charisma. Or you can just say charisma. But the Greek word is charisma. And what it means are supernatural abilities God has given believers through the power of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of serving. So that's a very complex definition, but they're abilities that are beyond human capability, given by God through the Holy Spirit, so they're from the Holy Spirit, and they're for the distinct purpose of serving the not only the church, but serving people and serving God. So in this chapter, Paul gives us 3 main qualities of spiritual gifts. First, they are from the Spirit. Spiritual gifts are from the Spirit. Verse 11 says, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." All spiritual gifts, if they are real, if it's a real spiritual gift, they are from the Holy Spirit. Only from the Holy Spirit. It's not something that person has done, not something that they like walked into the wilderness and like shaved their head bald and sat in silence in the midst of the forest and then received that gift from a high. This sounds like the introduction to like some cartoon samurai, like received the gift from a high and then was anointed by the power. No, that's not what happened. So these spiritual gifts, they're not something that people have earned on their own. It's not something, if someone ever tells you, "I spent time high on the mountaintops and that was when I received this ability," it's not. It's not real. It's not authentic. If they're just saying, "I was on the mountain and the Holy Spirit did this," then yes. But if they're saying, "I was on the mountaintop and by the silence and the still, I realized what is real and the power of myself and everything upon me forced me to understand the molecular..." I don't know. People say... he talks weird. He talks weird because he spent too much time on the mountaintop. So they're from the Holy Spirit. If someone says it's from something else, from themselves, it's not a spiritual gift. It's not genuine. Second, they're diverse. Verse 4 says, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all." The second thing we see is that spiritual gifts come in all different sorts of shapes, sizes, different kinds of times, for different kinds of reasons. They're very diverse, very different. Some of them you will understand. Others of them you will hear and you won't understand it. Some of them you will feel. Others of them you will see and witness with your own eyes. They come in all sorts of different ways, all sorts of different presences. Some of them, you'll see it in your mind, but it won't really be there. This is, you have to understand, these are supernatural, apart from human nature and what we understand to be, you know, nature. And then last but not least, he says that the spiritual gifts are unified. They're diverse, but unified. Verse 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." We have to remember that unity does not equal uniformity. Unity does not mean uniformity. So just because something has the same goal, works together for that purpose, it does not mean that every person a part of that goal, a part of that body, is the same. It doesn't mean they all look the same, perform the same, or do the same thing. But they are unified toward that one purpose and goal. And Paul uses the body metaphor to explain this in most of the chapter. And though these gifts are all very different, they all have the same goals. One, to serve people, and then two, to glorify God. And that is how you will know it's a genuine spiritual gift. It's going to be either serving people or glorifying God. So that is our foundation of spiritual gifts. That is the base, the root. As we move forward in like the next couple weeks, I'm not going to do that same foundation. We're just going to dive straight into the gifts. So you got to keep that in your noggin. Keep it fresh in your mind so that you know what we're talking about. So without further ado, let's get into the gifts that we're going to look at today. So we're going to look at the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, prophecy, and discerning of spirits. Hopefully we'll get through them all. I'm going to do my best to cover all of these. I'm pretty sure we'll have time. We'll be able to do it. So yeah, we're going to look at first the word of wisdom, second, knowledge, third, prophecy, and discerning of spirits. And remember, we're not just looking at these as like what they are and just like looking at it through like behind a glass. We're going to actually see how we'll know if we have these gifts, or if we can grow in them, how we can grow in them, or how we can understand if we have that gift in a specific moment. It's going to be very applicable to our current lives, hence the Spiritual Gifts Workshop. It's applicable. It's a workshop. So let's start off with the Word of Wisdom. By definition, the Word of Wisdom is essentially the ability to give good, godly advice. So it's an ability to look into a situation that might seem really confusing or very, very complicated and complex, and to be able to solve that situation or resolve that situation in a godly way. And we have to keep in mind that it's godly. So if you are having an argument with your parents, like you guys just can't see eye to eye on why you need to get good grades in school, and you keep like dividing and you're upset, and you go to someone for advice and they're like, you know what you should do to solve that? I think you should just run away from home. And I think that would really chill things out, because you won't hear from them anymore. They won't hear from you, and you guys can both like move on with your lives. That is not good, godly advice. Maybe you could argue someone probably somewhere would say, hey, that might resolve the situation. I don't know. But we know that that's dishonoring to your parents, and we're called to honor our parents. And it's most of your parents probably have a rule that you can't run away, even if it's unspoken. And so it would probably be disobedient to your parents as well. So it has to be godly wisdom. And the way that we find godly wisdom is through Scripture. And this gift, it's gonna play itself out in two main ways. First, and probably most common, is being able to give good, godly wisdom to yourself. So you're in a situation, maybe you have an option, you know, I could go hang out with my friends and do that, or, you know, I could stay home and, like, study the Bible, or do homework, or, you know, talk with my family in this hard time that we're going through. And the wisdom would be you being able to look into that situation and say, yeah, I want to go hang out with my friends, but maybe it would be right, maybe it would be godly for me to do this. So you're giving yourself godly advice in spite of what you might want to do. And then the other way that it plays itself out is giving good, godly advice to other people. So when people might come to you and say, oh man, me and my friend, like, I'm super mad at her because she, like, she's always mean to me and stuff. And then maybe you're able to look in that and say, like, you know, it sounds like you're also kind of mean to your friend. And they're like, oh, I kind of am. You know, so you're able to look in and give that good, godly advice. So practically, someone who has this gift will be really good at separating their emotions from what is right and wrong. Someone who has this gift is going to be really good at disengaging their emotions from what is morally, godly, and correct. So they're going to be, you know, able to look into a situation and say, I know that's what you want to do. I know that's what you really desire to see happen, but maybe it's not right. Maybe it's not the best for you. And it's a pretty rare thing. Someone who's able to separate their emotions from what is right and what is godly, and to be able to look into a situation and say that's right and that's wrong. But someone who has this gift very present in their life is going to be really good at that. They'll be really good at disengaging emotions from what is right and wrong. And what's really unique about this gift is it's a gift that believers can choose to increase themselves. So yes, it is from the Holy Spirit, and it's only by the Holy Spirit that we can have this gift, but believers can choose to increase this gift on their own. There's going to be some Christians who just naturally, by the Holy Spirit, are wiser than others, and that's just how it's going to be. But there's going to be others who are able to become a little bit more wise on their own if they choose to increase it. And the ways to do that, obviously, are to read your Bible, but specifically to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and see what Jesus says. To see the words of Jesus and to realize what's going on. So often in the Gospels, people come to Jesus with complicated situations. And they're just like, Jesus, what would you do in this? What would you do right now? And sometimes he like gets right to the core of the issue and says what's right. Other times, he's silent. And that is so wise, to be silent when we need to be. Another good thing to read to increase wisdom, to increase the word of wisdom, is Proverbs. To read in the Old Testament, Proverbs by Solomon. Oh, if you read Proverbs, there used to be this challenge, it's still a thing, but I don't know if people do it as often, to read the book of Proverbs once a month, because it's 31 chapters and the average month is like 30 days, so you can do it pretty easily. And when a Christian does that and commits to it for like maybe a season or a year, their wisdom increases tremendously. Their ability to look into a situation and say, you know, what the godly, wise advice is in that case increases tremendously. So, what's cool about this gift is you can increase it by choice. You can choose to grow deeper in it. It doesn't mean that you're going to be as wise as like the wisest person in the world, but it might increase your wisdom if you spend more time reading things like the Gospels and Proverbs. So that is the word of wisdom, the ability to give good, godly advice, apart from emotions and apart from earthly desires, to say what is godly in a situation. Now let's look at the word of knowledge. And this can be easily, and it's often, confused with the word of wisdom. But the two are very different. They're very distinct. The word of knowledge is when you have the ability to know something, usually about someone, that would have been impossible for you to know. So it's when you're able to look at someone, maybe that you've never met or that you have met, but you don't know this specific thing about them, and to know it, and then to even talk to them about it. And it's super, this is like repetitive, it's super supernatural, because most people, obviously, aren't able to look at someone they've never met and tell them something very personal about them that they couldn't have known otherwise. But that is exactly what the gift of knowledge is. It's the ability to look at someone and tell them something that you couldn't have possibly known about them. And the way it normally plays itself out is a Christian telling someone something about them that they could have never, ever known. A lot of times it'll be like, hey, how's your dad? Or it's like, hey, how's your great aunt? And it's like, how would you have even known to ask that? Because my great aunt is like going crazy and doing, you know, whatever. And it's usually this gift, the word of knowledge, it's usually used when leading someone to the Lord. So sharing the gospel with someone, and you tell that person something that's very personal about them that you couldn't have possibly known. Or it's used to address something that a Christian is hiding. That's the two most common ways it's used. It's obviously can be used differently, but that's what we most commonly see. When leading someone to the Lord and revealing something that you could have never known about them, or to address something that a Christian is hiding, that you still could have never known about them, but somehow from the power of the Holy Spirit, you know it and you talk to them about it, and it's really a crazy gift. And this, unlike wisdom in a way, it's not a gift that Christians can control on their own. They cannot control it at all. It's a gift that the Holy Spirit would give right in the moment for it to be used right in that moment. So it's kind of like a use it or lose it gift. So there's no one in the world walking around who can like look at people and like tell them their whole life story without knowing a thing about them. No one can like wield the Holy Spirit like that and be like, well, I'm gonna tell you your whole life story and reveal everything to you and all your secrets. No, it's not real. The Holy Spirit would reveal that word of knowledge to someone right when it needs to be used, right in that moment. And the way to know if you have this gift, if you're wondering if you have the gift of knowledge, is usually you'll be near someone or talking to someone, and you'll get this random feeling that you need to talk to them about, like, fill in the blank. So you could be, like, at the checkout stand, and, you know, the person's doing your groceries, they're checking your milk and your eggs and your candy bars, and then you're like, all of a sudden, you feel this feeling like you need to ask them about their dog. And that's super random. Like, who talks about the dog when you're, like, at the grocery store with someone? But you get this feeling that, like, you need to talk to them about their dog, or maybe it's about their son, or their friend, or something. And the way Christians will usually use this gift is they'll ask very direct questions. So I think what ends up happening is Christians get a little nervous, because it's like, I'm not gonna be like, your dog ran away, and the Lord is with you, and he's comforting you. Because what if you're wrong? So what Christians will usually do is they'll be like, hey, how are things going with your dog? Or, hey, how have things been with your depression? And it's like that direct question about something you could have never known about, and then it like blows their mind, and they're like, how'd you know? How'd you know about that? And it's like, you're like, hey, it's the Lord. The Lord told me, he showed me, he revealed that to me, and then you use it to give him glory. So that's the word of knowledge, to, in a moment, be able to tell something to someone about themselves that you could have never known. It's super crazy. It's like, it's out of this world. That's impossible. From a human perspective, that is impossible, to be able to look at someone and tell them something specific about themselves. But by the Holy Spirit, Christians are sometimes able to do it. No one can control it, but the Holy Spirit does allow it to happen at some times. Now we're going to look at the gift of prophecy. And the gift of prophecy is kind of, this is sort of a gift that people have an issue with. Some people like to say that it's not even a thing anymore, but Scripture tells us, Paul tells us in this passage, that it is still a thing for Christians to be able to have worked through them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what prophecy is when a person receives some sort of a very specific message from God and then tells it to other people. So you get this very distinct message or words or some sort of form of something from God, and then you tell it to other people. And a lot of times when you think of prophecy, we think of someone telling the future. Like, you know, we see in movies, oh, the prophecy. Or like the Lego movie, the prophecy. No? I love that movie, but sometimes people just don't connect with me on the same level of the Lego movie. It's not amazing? It's amazing. Ah, it's my favorite. It's literally... No, you can't bring Star Wars and Lego Movie into the same argument.
I just did.
Stop me. That's true.
They are on the same level.
See, that I can't.
What are you gonna do about? Oh, true. Well, that's a good point. But usually, so the gift of prophecy, usually it's not telling the future. There are some slim cases where God will reveal a futuristic message to someone and they will be able to tell it to someone, but it's very rare. And it's often not going to be big things. Like, no one's going to be like, America's going to go into war in 2.4 days, so brace yourself. It's like, yeah. It could happen, but it's very rare. God, yeah, that's not really what God uses prophecy for. It's to convey a more specific, usually encouraging and spiritual message. But more often, instead of futuristic messages, what we often see is a person able to say what God desires in a very specific situation. So oftentimes what you'll hear, someone with the gift of prophecy will be like, it's usually pretty random, but they'll be like, hey, God sees what you're going through, and he's with you. And he's not worried, but he's right behind you. And it's like, whoa, that's kind of weird, dude. But no, that's the gift of prophecy, to be able to, in a very specific situation, say what God is saying on the matter. Say God's opinion, or to say what God wants to say to someone very specifically. And it's a very touchy gift, because you can cross lines very easily. So you have to be very careful with this gift. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians verse 4 says, one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. So we know that prophecy will always be for the benefit of whoever hears it. So it's never going to just like tear somebody down for the purpose of just tearing them down. Sometimes it'll be like, hey, God wants you to give up your sin, and he sees that you've been struggling with it, and he's ready for you to let go of it and to rest on him. But that's going to help that person out. But if it's like, hey, God knows you're sinning, and he hates you, and he doesn't even want you to stop, that is not the gift of prophecy, because we know that God would not say that. From the character that we see of God in Scripture, we know that he would not say it. And we also know the gift of prophecy, because it's a direct message from God, it cannot go against any aspect of Scripture. So in the past, and even now, there have been like cult leaders who say like they are a prophet. They speak for God, and they lead groups of people. Usually they like surround them, or like they separate themselves into the wilderness, and this guy, or sometimes even a girl, will be like, God wants all of us to donate our clothes, and like they're very specific messages and often very negative. And what often happens in these cults is the person will say that God wants them to kill themselves. And we've seen this happen a few times throughout history. Someone claiming to be a prophet leads a cult to death. So it can be, God wants you to drink this poisonous drink. God wants you to walk off this cliff. And because people believe that he's speaking from God, they do it and they kill themselves as members of this cult. And it's very wrong. It is not the gift of prophecy. That is evil, 100%. So if someone's ever saying, you know, God wants you to do something very negative, God wants you to do something that will harm you or harm others around you, we know that that is not prophecy, that that's not a specific message from God. This gift is something that very few people have pretty much all the time. It's not very common for Christians to have this gift all the time, but some Christians will also get it like very randomly. They'll be like all of a sudden, right in the moment, like the word of knowledge, they'll have it and they'll be able to say what God says on the matter. But there are a few people, it's not common, by a few, I mean like out of the norm. It's not like there's only a few on the world, but like it's out of the norm. People who have this gift all the time, and usually it's because they know the Bible really well, or because they have that gift of prophecy always running through them, and they're able almost always to be able to say God's opinion on a matter. But it's very touchy. And someone who has the gift of prophecy needs to know the Bible super, super, super well. And the reason they need to know the Bible so well is so that when you have a prophetic message, you can know that this is from God and not just some other message in your head. If someone, you know, walking around the world just said everything that comes to their minds and thinks it's a message from God, that would be very bad. That would be very negative, and it's 100% not the gift of prophecy. But just practically, how you could know you have this gift, the way it can be revealed to people, is in a lot of different ways. But the direct message from God, it can come as something you've heard in your head. So some people will actually hear a voice from God that like says, tell this person that I love them and I'm guiding them. Yeah, it's like a real voice, and people hear from God. It's pretty rare, not very common, but some people do. A more common way that people receive prophecy is by reading a verse in their Bible and then having this feeling like they need to go tell it to someone. They need to go tell it to a specific person at a specific time. Another common way is it can be like seen in your head. So maybe you see words, or also it can be through a vision. A lot of people will get like this vision of something happening in their mind, and then they go and tell that vision to someone, and it like means something to that person. It's pretty interesting. That's actually a pretty common way that prophecy works, is the prophet, the person who has the gift, will get this vision, and it can be really random. Like, I see a flower hanging from a ceiling and it's like the light is shining on it, but the shadow's coming in, and they tell that vision to someone, and that person's like, oh my goodness, that's God speaking to me right now. And it's like, whoa, it's crazy. It's the Holy Spirit working in that situation. It's really powerful. It's really cool. But they have to know the Bible super well. To practice the gift of prophecy, you need to know God's word super well so that you can say, this is a message from God. I'm confident of that, and I can speak it as a message from the Lord. So, okay, last gift that we're going to look at. You guys are doing really good. I know this is a lot of stuff to take in, but it's really important because you guys can have these gifts flowing through you, and you need to be able to know, hey, that's a word of knowledge from God. Hey, I have the gift of wisdom, and I should be able to grow in that. I want to grow deeper in that. Or, hey, this is a prophetic message for that person. I need the boldness to speak that to that person. And then finally, the discerning of spirits. And this pairs really well with prophecy. It's like a delicious cheese and cracker. The two go together very well. Cheese and crackers? Any cheese and crackers fans? Really? Man, one day... One day, your minds will be open to that.
And crackers and salami.
Ham?
No, salami.
What about, what's the one that I like? Oh, I forget what it's called.
Lunchables.
Huh?
Lunchables.
No, ew. Ugh. That's not real ham either. Oh, no. Okay. So yeah, the two pair really well. Like a Lunchable and a Capri Sun. Gross. Ew. So, the discerning of spirits is the ability to detect if something is from God or if it is from something else. Usually, something evil. Sometimes it's just directly from that person, and you're like, that person's being really dumb. But sometimes it is a message from Satan or from a demon, and you are able to identify that as an evil message that we need to block out right away. This gift will usually play itself out by when you hear something from someone and you get this feeling deep down inside, and you just know that what they said is not from God. It's this deep feeling, like maybe your hairs on your neck stand up, or like your heart sinks to your stomach, and you're like, ugh, this is not from God. And you might even know this message, whatever someone's saying, is evil. It's straight evil. Yeah.
A typo.
A typo?
It says the ability to check if something is from God.
Ah.
You have a lot of typos lately.
I know. I'm really off.
You have Shavert.
Shavert was a purposeful typo.
He thought he spelled from is wrong first.
No, I know. I had a hard time typing this slide for some reason. Ethan was there.
He
it was tough.
He also forgot to text.
Yeah, I needed a lot of help. So yeah, sorry. I'll fix that. Thanks, guys. I'll fix it on the next one.
Oh, what? No! Leave it!
Oh.
Leave his typo.
Del fixed it. So it's when you know something is not from the Lord. So an example of this, and something we actually see pretty commonly, and you guys are probably going to see it more, is when someone is like, the Lord is coming back on December 3rd, 2018. That's my birthday. That would be pretty cool.
Wow.
But people have done this all throughout history, and we know in the Bible it says no one knows the season or the time when God will come back. And so when someone says the Lord is coming back on whatever day, and they're like, I calculated it and I figured it out and I looked at the Mayan calendars, 2012, it's ridiculous. And so a Christian with the gift of discernment will hear that, and automatically they're like, oh no, that is not from the Lord. That is straight from that person, or maybe it is an evil message that is confusing people and conflicting them and pushing them against Scripture. Something pretty cool about this gift is it's super common. A lot of Christians have this gift, and it's a gift that Christians can choose to grow in. And I'd even say that Christians should want to grow in this gift. They should want to grow in this, because the more you read your Bible and the more you understand God and the things that He has for you, the more you'll be able to detect when something is not of God and when something is evil or when something is from a person who's saying they're speaking from God, but you know it's not. This is a very important gift to have, and it's pretty accessible. If you just read your Bible and pray and get to know God more, this gift can be given to you. Yes, it is from the Holy Spirit, because you can only know the Word of God and know God through the power of the Holy Spirit, and He only reveals aspects of God through the Holy Spirit, but it is something we can choose ourselves to initiate, to grow in. And I'd encourage pretty much every Christian to desire this gift, to be able to discern spirits, because it'll help you everywhere. When your teacher says, you know, there's no such thing as a God and that everything evolved, and you know, you need that gift of discernment to go, that's not true. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and you know, to know that that's supported by, you know, the intelligent design that we see all throughout creation. So this gift, it's important to have, and it applies everywhere. It's the discerning of spirits, to be able to detect if something is from God or if it is from something else, usually something that is evil. So that's the four gifts that we covered today. It's a lot, right? It's a pretty complex topic. And what I want to do is close with some take home. Kind of, you know, like a good workshop is going to have a little something for you to work on the week in between. It's not homework, because it's not like I'm going to make you do anything, but it is something you need to take home. Verse 31 says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts." And what the best gifts means is the gifts that are going to serve the people around you the most, or the gifts that are going to help you glorify God personally the most. And Paul says, desire these gifts. Desire the best. You can look at that list and say, man, I don't have any of those, but don't leave it at that. Instead, desire those gifts. If you saw the word of knowledge, the ability to look at a complete stranger and by the power of the Holy Spirit tell them something about themselves, desire that gift. Pray for it. Pray for God to give you a word of knowledge to someone so that they can glorify God, so that you can glorify God, so that you can help them and serve them. Pray for the discerning of spirits to detect what's right and what's wrong. Pray for prophecy to speak God's message to His people or to someone who has not even yet been saved. Pray for the gift of wisdom to be able to speak wisdom into someone's life and also into your life, because it is so important. So we've got four gifts so far. And
what kind of gifts?
Are you serious? Man, you're gonna make me start over. Man, you made me lose my point. We've got four gifts. So this week, try to realize, you know, maybe when you're about to do something and you change your mind because you know it's wrong, realize that's a gift of wisdom. When someone comes to you for advice and you're able to tell them what they should do from a godly perspective, that's the gift of wisdom. When someone says something and you say, oh, that's not what God says in His Word, that's the discerning of spirits. So try to notice these things in your life. Not so that you can be like, oh, I'm cool, I've got the Holy Spirit, like flowing, but no, so you can see the Holy Spirit in you, so you can see His power moving through you. It's very important, and it grows our faith as Christians. When we see the Holy Spirit do something that we know we could not have done on our own. Next week, we're getting into the obscure gifts. We're going to look at the gift of faith, the gift of healings, the working of miracles, tongues. These are all kind of like, whoa, like pretty crazy gifts. So tune in next week. It's going to be real good. I'm super excited. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the gifts that You've given us. It's incredible, Lord, that by Your Holy Spirit, we have these abilities that are beyond human capability, that are beyond human nature. Please fill us with Your Spirit so that we can desire these gifts and desire to grow in the gifts that we can choose to grow in. And help us to really put this all to practice, to put the word of wisdom to practice, if we have it, to put the word of knowledge when we feel something about someone, to really step out in faith and do that, to put prophecy to practice when we get a message from you for someone else, and to put the discerning of spirits to practice everything we hear and everything we see in our lives. We love you so much. We give you this week. We pray that you would go before us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.